On night guard I'm riding around 1,000 bedded steers, and tonight my thoughts are sliding down the trail of distant years. Coyotes howling in the darkness chills my weary bones. Foreman's prowl around the campfire makes the cowboy feel at home.
Are you guys ready to talk music?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you're
So it's good to see you all tonight.
Good to see you too.
Yeah. You can hear me okay. That's
absolutely
good.
Yeah, loud and clear. Is that a new mic?
No, I've had this for a while, but I have bad luck with this Zoom technology that we use, but it's working tonight. Todd, you're up first. I'm not even going to give an introduction. Todd, you're up first.
Cool.
Maybe you can just edit in one of the old introductions.
I might.
This
you got this one. Can you see my screen? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mike Scott and the Bootlegs, Death in Venice. Yes. It is Mike Scott from the Water Boys. This is an early band of his, and actually, you know, and despite the nastiness that Twitter has become, obviously, we met there, so there's good stuff to be had too. I also met a guy on there, Alan McConnell, who was the guitar player in this band, Mike Scott and the Bootlegs, who also happens to be a very, very good songwriter himself. I have a couple of his records, but I thought this would be an interesting one to bring. Three Water Boys, Mike Scott, some really cool guitar playing from Alan McConnell, and see what y'all think.
All right.
Yeah.
was strikingly un-Water Boys like, other than his voice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's you know, from a demos collection that Alan was able to share with me from back in the day, and it sounds like a demo. It's a curio, but I think it's a pretty cool one.
How much love do you have in your heart for Water Boys?
I love the Water Boys. I think that they have some of one or two of like the best songs ever written. A Bang on the Ear is just absolutely kills me.
I spent a little bit of time with that new 6-CD expanded version of This Is the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just some lovely stuff on there as it all just sort of is coming into shape. Yeah, but I'm afraid of spending too much time with it because, you know, I need to sleep and things like that.
Well, spend a little time with Fisherman's Blues, too, because that's a phenomenal record. Any of the rest of you guys Water Boys fans at all, or not so much?
I'm more familiar with World Party, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them. I had one of the records on CD. I used to listen to it a lot. I like them. I don't know a ton of their catalog, just a couple of their records, and obviously Hole of the Moon. Like,
yeah,
that's sure. A great song.
That's a fantastic, that's another one of my favorites of theirs. But yeah, go and look, find a song called And a Bang on the Ear. It's from Fisherman's Blues. It's just him listing off stories of his lovers through the years, looking back on it with fondness and just a little bit of heartbreak. It's a fantastic song.
So what's the name of this pre-band again?
Mike Scott and the Bootlegs. They also went by the name Death in Venice, and it's unclear as to which was actually the more official name, at least from where I'm sitting. But
So what was the name of that song? Was that song?
I thought the name of the song was also called Death in Venice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. My choice is up next, and I'm gonna bring you. You all probably know this band, but I was gonna do some Echo and the Bunnymen, but then the very last minute, I chose Beat Happening, a little fortune cookie prize.
Thank you.
Yeah, I need to dig into their stuff more. I really don't know them. I know the name.
So, yeah, they're great.
Yeah, I've been I like a lot of their stuff.
I've been listening to this podcast called 60 Songs That Explain the 90s. And a recent episode concentrated on Daniel Johnston. And so Beat Happening and other stuff got kind of pulled in on that conversation as well. So I've had Beat Happening on my brain this past week anyway, so that's kind of a nice coincidence there.
Yeah, the universe works in strange ways. Yeah, I really like it. I think their stuff is, I think I said that, what did I say in the chat? I said they're deceptively good, but I think they're deceptively talented too. I think a lot of times you hear that music, say, oh, it's just so simple and everything, but I think they're really good. I think there's a lot of skill that goes into kind of making it sound so simple.
Going back to our last episode, though, I have to admit, the Beat Happening stuff I dig more is when Calvin's also singing. You know, the boy girl vocals in that band really work well for me.
Did we play them last time? Did we talk about?
No, I don't know, but we just had a lot of boy girl vocals last.
Oh,
last
that's right. Together. Yeah, yeah. I think she. That's Heather. I don't know her. Brett, Heather, and Calvin. She sings about like maybe 25% of the songs, I think. So I like her voice. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go. What?
No, I was saying we were saying in the chat that how much it reminded us of the Vaselines.
Yeah.
So
they toured with the Vaselines years ago. Seems
appropriate.
Yeah. I think there's shows on YouTube where you can hear the whole show with the two of them. So you can imagine the quality of those shows, though, considering it's.
And Calvin was also the sort of a label boss for K, wasn't he?
Yes, K Records. That's right. Yep. Yep.
The whole international pop overthrow and stuff like that.
Yeah. Who else was on? Lois, Mecha Normal. Whole lot. I really dug that scene.
Courtney Love
the band Courtney Love.
The band Courtney Love, not the person Courtney Love. Yeah.
I really was a big fan of K Records back in the day. I had a lot of their cassettes. This one included. Bob, you are up next.
So, funny story behind this track. This dates back to when I was mining for stuff in the old Bend and Scoop podcast days. And somehow this has been in my queue to bring to the show for so long that they've actually released another album since then. And that album they released was last summer. So this has really been collecting dust in the pile, but I came across it recently and listened to it. And I was like, you know, this is actually pretty good. I wish I would have brought it sooner. Although it might make more sense if it was another couple months from now because of the title of the song, which is Slogging Through Summer. And it's by this band out of Philly that's called Hurry.
Can you meet me after school?
so glad you mentioned There's a Shame About Ray, because I knew I recognized a chunk of that melody, but I couldn't place it.
Yeah, right. I started singing it in my head after when it got going, but then it changed up just enough and it became, you know, its own thing, and it didn't bother me so much.
Yeah, no, super fun, buzzy song.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I Bob, you said it was from 2021. I would have thought it was earlier than that. It's a real kind of mid-90s retro.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it definitely has that sound to it.
I feel like cue up some Material Issue right after that.
But now that I found out they put another album out after this, I'm kind of anxious to see what that sounds like. So I'm going to have to check that one they put out last summer.
Yeah. That's some good stuff.
Speaking of anxious to hear stuff, there's just been a boatload of stuff in the past few days that I feel like I have to figure out how to carve out time to hear. I'm super interested in hearing that new Adrian Lenker and the new Waxahachie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still got stuff from 2021 in a list that I have to do. It's a never-ending hill that you climb, right?
Yeah. A Sisyphean task if there ever was one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jim, what do you got for us?
So it looks like you queued up the Noise Attic song first.
Yeah. Is that all right? So,
yeah, Noise Addict is the band from Tim Lee.
Oh, cool.
He formed that when he was like 15 or 16 years old, and somehow he ended up on the Beastie Boys Grand Royal label. This is from a compilation called 10,000 Kids with Guitars. It's just this really, I just think it's a delightfully sweet song. I was torn between two of their songs. I went with this one called 16.
There is no
rock and or roll. That was, I mean, that was that was great.
As Reverend Lovejoy would say.
The thing it evokes most without sounding anything like them is like the exploding heart. It just that, yeah. has that kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Tom, was it you who made the remark that we were sounding very 1994?
Yes, that was
The sort of scuzziness and shambliness, you know, sounds like kind of Sebado-ish or something like that.
Yeah, I think with even if the one that Bob chose came out in 2021, it's still, even the Death and Venice, they could have all been on the same mixtape from 1994.
It's funny you mentioned Exploding Hearts. I was driving to lunch today and Sleeping Aids and Razor Blades came up on my shuffle.
So that's always a good one to have come up.
Yeah. And they put out the remastered vinyl last couple of years, like last year, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I got it though. It sounds a lot better. The original CD or the burn I had was very thin sounding.
Speaking of vinyl, my wife got me a subscription to this company called Vinyl Me Please. Have you heard of these guys at all?
I've heard of them. I've seen their ads.
Yeah.
So the first one I grabbed from them, she got me like a 3-month or a 5-month subscription, 6-month subscription. First one I got was their repressing of Air's Moon Safari.
Ah.
Holy crap. It sounds so beautiful.
Oh, I bet. Everything sounds great on vinyl. I mean, it's such a cliche, but it's just sounds so good when it's not, when it's an analog rather than just kind of from the air over the Wi-Fi.
And I also recently got a new stylus, so that probably helped as well.
Awesome.
I didn't know you were a vinyl guy, Jim.
What's that, Todd?
I didn't know you were a vinyl guy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I've got too much. My wife keeps talking about when we eventually have to move again, where all this stuff is going to live.
Gonna be a band down by the river.
Tell her to find a new house.
and both of my kiddos are, get some vinyl also. Graham's probably got 50 or 60 albums already. My daughter's buying some vinyl and hanging it on her wall, hanging the album covers on her wall. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, my daughter is my oldest. She likes vinyl too. Not my other two, but yeah, she's big into it. Every Christmas, I try to get her a few, and sometimes we'll go vinyl shopping, which is fun.
That's funny because I was with my son yesterday talking about kids getting. My son looked at me. He's pointed at a turntable.
There you go, Bob.
Gatefold.
Gatefold, yeah. The Moon Safari is a gatefold with a little booklet in it describing the album. And
yeah.
Where'd you get that, Bob?
I think it was online, but it was like the 20th anniversary commemorative edition. So yeah, it was last year. And it's expanded a couple of new mixes, a couple extra tracks.
Was it a record store day thing or something?
I don't think so. I think I just remember seeing something about it online about pre-order or whatever, but it was because I guess the original release was 2003, so it was a 20-year deal, but had to grab that.
Doesn't seem that long ago.
No, nothing seems like 20 years ago. That was 20 years ago.
Hey.
It's because we're all getting old.
Indeed.
Time goes fast. Todd, what do you got for us?
Well, we're stuck in 1994, so I'm going to drag you back to the 80s. This is absolute great. I discovered them. I guess they're a cult band among cult bands. I think they're from New York State somewhere, but it was one of those things where I walked into the record store and they had, you know, the sticker on the CD handwritten by one of the people that works in the store describing it. and just, I can't remember exactly what the description was, but just sounded really appealing. Kind of the time and of the place as as early REM, except obviously they're from New York. So
so that's not from Athens?
No, they're from Rochester.
No.
Rochester, New York.
Yeah. Yep. I knew you'd do the research while we were listening.
I know we've talked about this in the past, but again, something like this just kills me because it's just this stark reminder of the dozens or hundreds of interesting bands that we'll never know about because we weren't in the right town to know about them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just one of those happy accidents. I saw it. The cover grabbed me, the little write-up from the store clerk grabbed me. I picked it up with no expectations, like, well, I'll spend a little bit of money on a CD today. And I put it in my car, and I was like, I love this. This is great. And it was it's from the 20th anniversary edition. So obviously they had enough of an audience that it, you know, warranted a reissue.
I hardly ever go on Twitter, but when I was more active on it, I followed the dude, Pat Thomas, who was in this band, and he does a lot of like producing and, reissues of,
He runs a label, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And he's done a lot of, I think freelance work, like writing, especially about the Velvet Underground. I've stumbled onto some of his articles. Seems like an interesting guy.
Oh, he was in Absolute Gray?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. You know more about them than I do.
That's the extent. That was fantastic. I've never heard this song. I played them on my podcast before, but I had never heard this before. This was great. I loved it.
I feel like it like hits the sweet spot for all of us. It's yes. like right there. It's where the Venn diagram is like right in the middle there.
Yeah. That's my, that's why I think I'm going to change my next selection. But before I do, did you all listen to the song that I'm about to play? I know I sent a song in our message chat that we have a couple weeks ago by the band Love Child. Did you all hear it? And if you didn't, that's okay, because I'm going to play it now.
I did not follow that link.
I don't think I have heard that. You did listen to it, Todd?
I did, but I don't remember what
you don't remember. Okay, good.
I'll probably remember good. As soon as you play it.
I'm glad you didn't. Glad you ignored me. I'm gonna play that song. Let me just cue that up.
So Tom, what did you undo? Because I've already been building the Spotify playlist behind the scene.
Oh, I was going to do. This isn't on Spotify anyway. This next song that I was about to play. So. I'll fill it in. I'm going to play the song. Love Child is the name of the band. And the song I'm about to play is called Greedy. They just did a reissue that came out last week. And it's one of those things like they should have been huge. And I think when you hear this song, you will agree with me.
Last 30 seconds was awesome.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it.
That was something.
Boxes.
I don't remember it. I thought I listened to it, but I don't remember. I don't remember the song. It was great.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. The guy. Do you know Alan Licht? Have you ever heard that name? I don't know if you. He's a guitarist. He does a lot of improv.
Is he a shimmy disc guy?
No, that's David Licht, I think you're thinking of.
Okay.
But this is Alan Licht. He's like an improv guitarist and just fucking fabulous. So it's just so good.
What's their backstory? What's
I don't know much about them. I think they I'm looking at their bio now. I think they were, you know, between 88 and 93, it looks like, and they just never got big. They just missed their chance, I guess, or maybe they were kind of like a regional big somewhere, but I don't know. But that should have been big. And the woman in the group, Megan Odes, I think she has a record from like 1998 that's out there. I think it was on Merge Records. I haven't listened to it yet, though.
I love this line in there from the bio. The one fan, Kurt Cobain, allegedly predicted Love Child would become the Fleetwood Mac of the 90s.
I need a little footnote with the source on that one.
Yeah, right?
If I look at it, this was written by the band, so that might not be true.
Postmark my love child, yes.
That's awesome. I didn't notice that. So, yeah, I'm glad you guys like that. All right, Bob, what do you got for us?
Okay, so this next one is a band that was actually from the early mid 80s in New York called the Mosquitoes, not to be confused with the Beatles parody band that appeared on Gilligan's Island that you may remember if you're old enough. This record recently came out within the last year or so, and it basically is a compilation of everything they ever did. Tom, you'll appreciate this. The lead singer, the leader of the band, wrote a song that they did, and it got covered by the Monkees during their comeback. That was then, this is now. Do you remember that?
Sure I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy, the guy that fronts this band, is the guy that wrote that song.
Oh, okay. So, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That was on their their greatest hits retrospective in like 86. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. When they were having the big MTV renaissance. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So that was an interesting factoid. But this track here is called Christine, which I don't think is about the Stephen King car. So we'll give it a listen.
It's a Fleetwood Mac reference.
Yes, McVie, yes. You know these.
What's that? Not everybody.
Fleetwood Mac. They were the love child of the 70s. The love child was the Fleetwood Mac of the 90s. Clearly, they were.
All right, here we go.
I know you're queen.
say that again? I think
kind of love that in a weird way.
Yeah. What did you say that was? Say that again. Say that loud.
I kind of love that in a weird way.
No, the David Lee Roth.
Oh yeah, it's like David Lee Roth fronting the Romantics.
Yeah, I definitely can hear the Romantics type of vibe and sound there for sure.
I'd pay to see David Lee Roth fronting the Romantics. I liked that, it. Go on. Track,
the album does have the original "That Was Then, This Is Now." If you're curious,
I am. I will. I'm going to listen to that very soon. That's a good song. I like that song.
It's a grab bag because they never really had a proper album release. They were just one of these New York bar bands that was big locally that never quite got signed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, all I could find on AllMusic was what looks like a rambling sort of, you know, gather everything together on a double album called This Then Are the Mosquitoes.
Yep. That's the album. And it's some of its demos, some of its live, some of its studio tracks. It's just a hodgepodge, basically everything they ever did.
And what made you choose this song? Is this one of the standout songs for you?
I mean, yeah, for me, I just thought it was probably the best fit. A lot of the stuff on the record is very retro sounding, almost like, you know, Romantics, but almost even more like retro, like 60s garage or even early 60s frat party type stuff.
Mm.
But it's good.
I could definitely see them playing with the Smithereens, like being yes. Kind of like a good bar to go to. You hear like the Smithereens and this band.
Yeah, and, I hear some Smithereens there too, Romantics and Smithereens.
Yeah. Yeah, just like a good working band. You know, nothing flashy or no tricks in the studio, just solid chops. I liked it.
Yep.
Yeah, it was the lyrics that were cracking me up. I was just listening to it, and they were delivered with such bravado too.
Yeah, so earnest, overly earnest. Yeah,
yeah.
I like the solo. The solo kind of reminded me of Matthew Sweet's girlfriend a little bit. It had that sound to it.
That's pretty high praise.
Yeah, that's one of my. That's my favorite guitar player.
Said it sounds like it, but not necessarily.
Yeah, that's. Richard Lloyd and Quine all over that
Robert
album.
Quine, yeah, Robert Quine. Yep, I read an article not too long ago about him. He was an interesting dude. I share an anecdote about the article, but I don't remember too much. I do. He was going to play guitar for Art Garfunkel, and he said that Simon and Garfunkel were for. Lazy people who didn't get Bob Dylan or something along that line, and Art Garfunkel punched him and they didn't end up working together. So there's my anecdote.
I can't imagine Art Garfunkel having a need for that level of guitar.
I know. I'd like to hear that, right? Like, what would they have come up with?
Yes.
All right,
God,
Jim.
I love his playing.
Huh?
No, just God, I love his playing so much.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Did he and were he and Lou Reed friends at or talking at the time of Quine's death?
He played on Blue Mask, and then he mostly got scrubbed off of the next album. And I don't imagine that he and Lou ever really made up much after that.
I thought he
Lou
played.
Seems like a grudge holder.
Yeah.
Quine looks like Lou. He'll just give you a detention.
I would think Lou holds a grudge.
Lou, that was part of his. That's why he looks so old. If you ever see a picture of him like 1986, doing his the Kawasaki commercial or something, the years were not kind to him in that, during that phase.
No.
All right, Jim. What did you bring?
I'm bringing us home.
Yeah.
So this is an Alabama band called Bel Adair. I don't think they exist anymore. They released one or two albums. I discovered them through this magazine called The Bitter Southerner a couple of years ago. And it's just this is a band that obviously spent some time listening to Big Star and some other things, and they don't quite attain those heights, but this is a pretty damn good pop song.
So will this song harsh our mellow tonight? And
No.
Or is it going to fit in?
We'll ride off to Valhalla.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. From 2018.
Wow. Does the rest of that album sound like that?
That's the highlight, but okay. that's where they're coming from.
Yeah. Nice.
That was fantastic. I loved it.
And you said they're not together anymore?
There's not particular evidence that they're together anymore. Their website, for example, doesn't exist anymore.
Like I said, there was a nice guitar intro, but then as soon as their voices came in with that, those harmonies, I was just like, I'm in.
If this podcast does nothing else, we at least need to be responsible for bringing one band back together that should have never broken up.
We'll invite them to be our guests. Let's see if we can.
That's how we get the soundstage all set up.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the very, 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 very tiny desktop concert.
You'll have to supply the desk and your own camera. You know who kind of reminded me of a little bit, the vibe? Beachwood Sparks.
Yeah,
I could hear that.
It's really like sunshiny, pleasant sound. I really, really liked it. It was a good way to end. Did not harsh the mellow, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just a delightful tune, and one of those bands where I wish there was a deeper well of stuff for me to wallow in, but really it's just that one album that I know of. Yeah.
Are they in? Go on, Tom.
No, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, are they in any other projects that you know of?
I wasn't able to track any of that down. No, they're from Alabama. I don't know who their primary force was, you know, as far as creative you know, whether they're, you know, whether any of those people are still active in creating music, but they sure have the chops. They should be, you know.
I don't know nothing about Alabama, but I wouldn't think this music comes from Alabama. This kind of band would be big in Alabama.
Yeah, probably not. That probably is part of the formula for why they may not exist anymore.
Could be, yeah.
Would you expect it something like that to come from Nashville either?
No.
Or Memphis, I mean. Memphis?
No. No. More of an eastern, northeast, or western. West Coast. Then
I like the Teenage Fan Club reference from the chat.
Yeah.
No, it definitely reminded me of some sort of like something from Bandwagon esque or something like that. You know, not quite as fuzzy, but still those great melodies.
Yeah, just majestic melodies, right?
God.
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to that again, for sure. Well, that was fun. Let's you guys want to wrap it up real quick? Maybe we could talk after.
That would be delightful.
All right. Sure. Thanks for a good night.